This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Yeah, I'm talking about Dave providing Susie with the sheet, and then Dave just points out, what about the sheet that I have that I'm not paying attention to? Chad Arpin, Dave Harrigan, Susan K. Jones, News Talk 83 on WCCO. So Dave Harrigan comes up with a new idea, tosses it out to me on the phone about an hour and a half ago. I said, I like it. So you are going to lay this out if you want to play the open, if you want to describe it. And I think we might even have a special guest tied to the open. So you take it away.
Well, I heard it this morning driving in. It was early on the Adam and Jordana
show. What, our entire show? Is that what you heard?
No. I heard the start of Adam and Jordana, and that featured David Josephson talking about snow emergencies.
Was he in Botswana?
No, he was actually here live in studio. Rare appearance from Dave Josephson within the United States of America. He was claiming that there was no need for the city of Minneapolis to call a snow emergency. They could just plow around all the vehicles. It would be fine. Everything's good. And Mother Nature would just take care of everything in 3-4 days, whatever it would take to melt, as we have some more mild temps coming in. And I thought, you know, we need something similar to the top 10 weather day that the four likes to bring us. Anything can be a top 10 weather day. You don't have to count it. It's fine.
So we have about 40 of them.
We'll bring you this.
There have been many great moments in the long history of WCCO Radio. These are not those. The Chad Hartman Show now proudly brings you a top 5 ridiculous statement as heard on WCCO.
Here in Minneapolis, the reason we call a snow emergency is not for today and tomorrow. The reason is for an entire winter of accumulating snow on the roadways that makes many roads in Minneapolis impassable. And that is not what happened in this particular snowfall.
Wow. I did not hear this earlier. I heard the end of it. Is it possible David Josephson was concussed when he said this?
It's possible he's always concussed, giving his normal activities and taking falls, I'm sure. It's got to be an issue for him. But the argument was, as I understood it, and I listened back to make sure I did understand it.
Wow. Comprehensive.
Minneapolis, which received 6, 7, 8, 9 inches of snow, certainly with the blowing. Plenty of snow, that very thick, you know, heavy
snow.
This
wasn't light fluffy.
No, not the light and fluffy. This was the thick and heavy, baby. Did not need to call a snow emergency. That the roads could still be plowed, even without moving the vehicles. Everything would be fine. Chad, your thoughts.
What? How are they going to plow around the cars?
Where is the snow going to go, DJ?
Yeah, is he there? David, you want to speak up at some point?
I'd like for him to be here, but he peaced out. I told him he's very welcome to stay. And
he was unwilling. I mean, do we issue him a summons?
I think we just mock him behind his back. Or hopefully he's listening and be straight to his face. I don't care. But, I mean, I think this just shows the fact that he is, frankly, not able to, not willing to back up his statement. And it shows a lot. It's a definite lack of courage.
He doesn't live in Minneapolis or St. Paul. Does he live in Brooklyn Park,
Brooklyn Park Center?
I never can get my Brooklyn Parks and Brooklyn Centers. In fact, do you have the executive order right here? Can I jump in briefly to your new bit, which I love, by the way? It's fantastic. Do you have the executive order nearby? Can we do a bit within a bit? And it's very brief. It's going to be a quickie. We call it the Carter. Okay? We call it the Carter. And it might not be as satisfying. We call that the Carter also.
Here you go.
And now the Chad Hartman Show proudly presents today's executive order.
Thank you. Thank you. Here, it's either Brooklyn Park or Brooklyn Center, not both. Okay, enough. Enough of this, okay? We've said on the show for decades, Dakota. Okay, we've said for decades there's too many states in the Northeast. Okay, we don't need Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center. It's either Brooklyn Park or Brooklyn Center. And Dave, I'm going to decree it. It's all Brooklyn Park. What do you think of that?
Wow, that's a bold statement. I was wondering.
That's it.
You know, since you mentioned the Dakotas, we've got North and South, and you want it to just be Dakota.
Dakota.
Can we just call it Brooklyn?
No. Nope.
We can't have a Brooklyn, Minnesota? Brooklyn?
Too confusing. Just Brooklyn Park. Brooklyn Center. Come on. We got too many centers. Now, Park, a Brooklyn Park, that sounds good. Yeah, I mean, what does he think is going to happen? I'm not looking outside the window right now. I'm not in the house. There's snow all over the place, correct, right now?
Yes, there is snow all over the place, and certainly in Minneapolis, specifically, you know, South Minneapolis, where there's homes stacked on top of homes and people have to park up and down the sides of the streets, each side of the street. I don't think he's ever been to the residential areas of Minneapolis to realize the amount of, you know, how condensed it is with people and vehicles and homes. And I don't know what he thinks is going to happen with the snow. I don't know if he believes that, you know, everyone
just vanishes.
Yeah, everyone in South Minneapolis with their Prius is just going to be able to plow through the 8 inches for the next few days. Good luck to him, David, DJ, because apparently that's what you're going with.
Well, let's be honest. He lives in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
He travels 48 weeks a year. I mean, it really should be the Carter Show, because either Jordana or David is gone pretty much all the time. He's never spent any time in the city of Minneapolis. That's beneath him. It's Paris, France. I assume a trip to a Chad at some point, right? The African country.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a 5-star hotel. It's roughing it. So he doesn't, you know, but he's got a mansion in Brooklyn Park. We know that. Yeah, you need the snow emergency warning if you get 80 inches of snow. Is that a difficult concept?
No, it's not a very difficult concept. And, you know, DJ, as you said, Mr. Suburb, Mr. Brooklyn, whatever. Yeah, he comes downtown every day. He doesn't understand that the residential areas of Minneapolis and the downtown area of Minneapolis, while within the same city limits, are rather different. Different one. Oh, look who just popped into the studio.
Oh, he's arrived.
Oh, Mr. Courage.
We have to take a break. The witness is here to try to defend himself. One shiny moment he's going to need to defend himself right here. David Josephson is basically saying to Minneapolitans, screw you, I don't live there. Good luck to you. He'll try to explain when we come back.
Stretch Lab
is a place that I visit on a regular basis. They have one in Minneapolis. They have one not too far from Bidet Makoska, not too far from Hunter and Griffin and Quinny's grandma, my former mother-in-law, Vi, who's an amazing person. There are 11 Twin Cities Stretch Lab locations. So what is it? You wake up and you're thinking, oh, God, my back's tight. My shoulder hurts. My neck isn't right. I'm sick of my hamstrings being so tight. They have the specialists at StretchLab, at those 11 locations, who will help you. You'll get results the first time, guaranteed. Now, you get better and better results the more you go. Eliminate that soreness. Eliminate that tightness. Get more mobility. Listen, I should quit golf. It tortures me, but it has helped me with my flexibility tied to golf. Maybe you play pickleball. Maybe you're still a hooper. Maybe you play hockey with your buddies. It will help you out. And just because you're listening to this spot on WCCO Radio, you'll get a half off your first stretch at StretchLab. So how to track it down? Best way to do it, StretchLab.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What do we have for a music theme today, David Harrigan?
I saw today that it's 44 years since Walter Cronkite hung it up on the CBS Evening News. His final broadcast was 44 years ago tonight. Dan Rather, of course, took over after him. So we are having, since he was the most trusted man in America, songs about trust today.
Trust songs. Wow. I like it. All right, Josephson is in the house. Would you like to once again reset the new bit and just have David admit he is the first individual guilty of said crime?
We can go with the full open if you'd like. Sure, why not? Let's hit it.
Let's go.
Let's hit it.
There have been many great moments in the long history of WCCO Radio. These are not those. The Chad Hartman Show now proudly brings you a top five ridiculous statement as heard on WCCO.
Here in Minneapolis, the reason we call a snow emergency is not for today and tomorrow. The reason is for an entire winter of accumulating snow on the roadways that makes many roads in Minneapolis impassable. And that is not what happened in this particular snowfall.
Mr. Harrigan, would you like to explain your belief, the ludicrous nature of these comments by your fellow colleague, David Josephson?
Well, the nice thing is they mostly explain themselves. To have a snowfall of 8 massive, heavy, heavy, thick inches of snow and not ask people to move their cars out of the way for the snow plows is an absolute top five ridiculous statement ever made on WCCO radio.
Yeah. You don't care about Minneapolis. How long have you hated Minneapolis?
First off, I work for a show that comes up with our own original material. We'd never steal such a preposterous thing as me. Are you going to do a tournament next of these statements or something like that?
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
It isn't. No, I stand behind those comments.
He's stammering. He doesn't know what to say, Harrigan.
As I look at a forecast which calls today for sun and 40, which is only going to get warmer between now and the weekend when it's going to be in the 50s by this weekend and sunny. And it's a rule I live by. Don't do work that's going to do itself. This is a snowfall late in the year.
I heard that on the show. Segment after segment of our show.
A few days, this will be gone. So the snow emergency, they don't clear the snow on day one. They declare the emergency on day one, and then they do phase one and phase two and phase three. And it's a three-day process for them to clear the snow. Guess what's going to happen to the snow if you do nothing? It's going to melt away in 3 days. So we're doing all this work. We're towing people's vehicles, inconveniencing people's lives, both that live and work in this city, all to accomplish a job that Mother Nature is going to do for free.
Hold on a second. So you're telling me Sunday morning, when Minneapolitans wake up, all the snow will be gone?
I'm telling you, Sunday morning when Minneapolis residents wake up.
I just went with Minneapolis.
I don't think that's right, but close enough.
I don't think it is either.
I think it will not.
Tremendous.
If we did not plow of course you need to plow the center of the street, the part people are driving on, but
It'll be Dave Harrigan. It'll be gone by Sunday.
We're talking about the sides where people are parked, and the snow on the sides of the streets where people park will be, or would be if they didn't plow it, melted enough to be a non-factor by Sunday morning, 100%.
Oh, now wait a second. Yeah. It went from it's gone, Harrigan, to it's a non-factor now.
Not impeding traffic at that. It's melted and there's a few crusty boogers left and that's it.
Ooh, crusty boogers.
That's a good word.
I'm still trying to figure out the physics of this thing, because I heard you say it again this morning. You don't move the cars off of either side. You plow the middle. Where do you plow that snow to?
Yeah, where's the snow go?
The snow goes to the side or wherever the snow pushes it.
The cars are there, DJ.
There are cars there.
And then the snow melts.
So we shelter in place for 4 days?
No, it's already, half of it melted yesterday. It's on its way already.
So in other words,
it's gonna what's happening today? It's the first day of the snow emergency. Is everyone not going about their business on Minneapolis? No, they're all still going, even though the snow emergency hasn't been finished. It's fine. We're all gonna be fine. The snow's gonna melt.
Because when there's a snow emergency, there are no cars there and there's a place to put the snow.
They haven't even done that yet. It's still in the middle of the emergency.
I think the plows have been through downtown, I'm fairly sure.
Unneeded. Completely unneeded. 50 degrees on Sunday.
What else?
It's all going to melt.
Maybe this is Dave. This is a new bit. Try something new. What Dave Josephson says, what is unnecessary? 10:35 on Thursday. Yeah. Among the text. So my car will remain stuck at the curb for the next 3 days. Yes. That's what Dave is saying.
Mm-hmm. It didn't snow 4 feet. It snowed 7 inches. Like, you can drive through 7 inches of snow, and then tomorrow it's going to be 5 inches, and this weekend it's going to be all but gone.
How about this one? This text. What do you think? By his logic, if I have a cancer cell in my body, I should just let it keep growing because I'm going to die soon anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, let nature take its course.
Analogy, right?
If this snowstorm were in December, when we are expecting many more snowstorms throughout the year, then of course you got to clear it. But it's not. It's in March. There's no more snow coming for the next at least 8 days.
Does he realize plows can't get through most streets with the car if the cars aren't moved? Yeah, they're not exact. It's not exactly 35W through a lot of the parts of Minneapolis.
He just wants the plow blade just down along everybody's.
So what?
Not everybody's.
So are you supporting
a moat and a mansion in Brooklyn Park?
Do you?
Okay?
Yeah, right. Do you want them to do a snow emergency after like every snowfall up to half an inch? We're going to tow your car to clear that half an inch of snow. Is that what you're supposing?
I think when it gets to 7-8 inches, yes, we have one. Because or else, It's going to say, by the way, you said this to Carter the other day, and you were right when Carter said, no snow. By the way, he'll change it. Carter changes his mind on snow as quickly as Trump changes his mind on tariffs.
Yes, okay? Because the day after the snow, he did the topic. Oh, what are you going to enjoy about the snow today now that it's here?
Exactly. Exactly. So you know it's going to snow a lot more in March. We're not done with this.
Correct. Correct. Thankfully.
Which is why we should plow it.
Yeah, but it's all going to melt before the next time it snows. The next chance of snow isn't until a week from tomorrow, if you listen to Chris Schaefer this morning. And it is going to be 50s on multiple days between now and then. All of our
Another
snow
text.
Except for the big piles will be gone.
Another text. I mean, I've had a heart attack, and then the ambulance can't get down the street, but it's fine. It'll melt in a day or two. all not exaggerated analogies in any way. All right. Get out of here.
See
Go
ya.
Home. David Josephson. From the Adam and Jordana Show. Melissa Hortman on the troubling budget numbers when we come back. All right, we have budget officials and data today. Let's give you some of the numbers and then bring in Speaker Emerita Melissa Hortman, a Democrat, who's joined us a number of times over the years. The state now has a projected surplus, $456 million. For this two-year budget cycle. That's down $160 million from the previous estimates. And then when you look to the future for the 28-29 biennium, the deficit has grown from the latest $5.1 billion estimate released in December. So these numbers are going the wrong way. Melissa Hortman is with us, like all guests, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So, Melissa, when individuals like myself and many moderates, many Republicans, maybe many Democrats say, now, wait a second, we just had this $17 trillion surplus, the trifecta, that's when you had the governor's office. You had,
right.
Yeah. I went with trillion. I mean, just exaggerate, but let's go billion. Okay.
Billion,
Yeah, I thought I'd see if you're paying attention right away. You know, I mean, I'm barely paying attention. It's better when the guests pay attention. $17 billion.
Different numbers with the federal government. It's all in trillions up there.
Yes, exactly. But that you guys spent too much. That there wasn't enough thinking of slowing down the growth of government and looking ahead and tax changes. And now this is coming back and they're pointing the finger at you and the Democrats. What do you say?
I would say that the difference between the November forecast and the forecast right now is Donald Trump. And it got worse because since Donald Trump has taken office, the projections for GDP growth are down, inflation is up, and they project also that mortgage rates will be rising. And so it is going to be more difficult in the future because of inflation. The costs in the state budget will increase at a faster rate. Revenues will increase because of inflation, but spending will increase because of inflation. When you look at the budget period that we're in right now, the Democrats just finished budgeting for, we're ending with a surplus of $3.7 billion cash on hand, cash left unspent, $3.7 billion. Plus, we have a reserve account of $3.5 billion that's untouched. So Democrats' management over the last 2 years is leaving Minnesota in excellent condition. Over the next 2 years, we have a projected surplus of $456 million. If we spend $1.1 billion increase in government expenditures to match inflation. Now, if we choose not to do that, we could hang on to that $1.1 billion, not add it to the budget in this next two-year period. We could hang on to that $456 million projected surplus, and we would have a surplus of $1.6 billion. My recommendation for Democrats and Republicans working on the budget together this year is to hang on to as much of that $1.6 billion as we can to buttress the Minnesota economy for what could be coming in the future. Now, when you look at 28 and 29, it's long the road, and we can't necessarily take too many actions right now that will have a big impact on that outcome. But we can take a couple, and we should
let me jump in.
The cost curve. Sure.
Okay, let me jump in. Because when you have a budget, and you know this, you are the speaker, you aren't just factoring for the 2 years. You're trying to set the state up to be in the best possible position for 4, 5, 10, 15 years, right? And I get it. You can only control what
few states.
But let me finish. Let me finish. So you can control the 2 years, but that's setting things up. So again, to go back to 17 to 18 billion, not trillion, billion, and people say, why didn't we use that better in case people see the federal government not run as smoothly as you think it is and feel like you could have tried to balance this out better. So if the federal uncertainty affects us, we're in a better position.
Yeah, well, I would say how much do you want us to leave on the bottom line? Because we left $6.2 billion of the $17.5 billion on the bottom line. We've got this $3.7 billion in the current budget period. We also have the highest reserve in state history. So of that $17.5, $6.2 billion is sitting there right now, ready to help us moving forward. That's responsible budgeting. But when we look in the out years, the hard thing for all of us is, in Minnesota, we take really good care of people. We have higher social service spending than other states. In Minnesota, we don't cap disability services. So in other states, they say, well, we only have so many slots. They're full. Sorry, your family's going to help you out. Or if you're getting services and you're a person with disabilities, other states will say, well, there's a dollar cap per year. And so, hey, you need the occupational therapist to come in. Sorry, we can't pay for that. In Minnesota, we don't cap those things. And those services are expensive, and they're growing at a rate that's much higher than the rate of inflation. So that is a big part of the out years. The other thing in the out years is we've added inflation to the forecast now. And what we used to not count that. If we were still ignoring inflation, it would look like a $2.4 billion deficit in the out years and not $6 billion. But we do have to account for the fact that every day you go shopping, things cost more than they did the day before because of the impact of inflation. And that's true whether you're a school district or a city or a county. And we haven't accounted for that in Minnesota over recent years. So
well, I'm glad we are, but don't you have to account? Okay, and I'm glad you're doing that, but shouldn't you have accounted for that with the $17
trillion? We were billion. We were not budgeting for the period of 2018
and 2029. I'm just testing you. I knew that time. I'm just joking.
The period that we budgeted for, like I said, we ended with $3.7 billion on the bottom line. Now, you know, the Republicans like to say, oh, they spent it all. We did not spend it all. Of the $17.5 billion, we've got $3.7 sitting there on the bottom line right now to carry over to the next budget period. And you see the Minnesota budget is shrinking. You know, we spent one-time money on one-time things. Imagine WCCO gave you a bonus. If you went and repaired your roof,
that's impossible.
That would be a non-recurring expense, right? That'd be the kind of thing you would want to use a bonus for. You wouldn't want to say maybe go lease a more expensive car or go buy a bigger house and increase your mortgage. And so what legislators did and the governor in 23 and 24 is we used one-time money on one-time expenses. So the state budget is resetting back down by $5 billion over the next two-year period.
Okay, let me give you a quote from the Speaker of the House. Your friend, you met so often with Lisa Damith, you should know each other extraordinarily well. Here's what she told reporters earlier today, and this is Melissa Hortman, the Speaker Emerita, representing the Democrats with us. This is Lisa Damith, the Republican Speaker. Democrats in the state of Minnesota spent $18 billion, didn't bat an eye when it came to raising taxes and fees by another $10 million. But now, when there are hypothetical potential federal cuts, they're losing their minds. They can deflect to Trump all they want, but this is Minnesota Democrats that have gotten our state into the position we are in. Is Lisa Damith lying when she's using the numbers, which are different than you're using?
No, she's not lying. She's doing a great job of political spin. She's completely ignoring the fact that for the period that we budgeted, we have a surplus of $3.7 billion right now. And in the next budget period, we have a surplus of $1.6 billion. She's ignoring those pieces of data completely, which show prudent financial management. Now, of course, we're
But she's also saying you raised taxes and fees by $10 billion. I haven't heard you acknowledge that.
I don't know what she's talking about there. I mean, she could be saying that there's an increase and she's adding up numbers over the next 50 years or something. I don't know what she's talking about there. But she's conveniently ignoring the budget periods that we were responsible for, where we have significant surpluses in both of those, 28 and 29 are years that should concern all of us on a bipartisan basis. And whether it's the cost of services in different parts of our budget increasing at a rate higher than inflation, or tariffs on China negatively impacted the economic forecast. So what you'll hear from the state economists when they start talking at 12:15, or I guess they're delivering that now, is that this state budget forecast takes into account economic data through February 10th. So it takes into account Trump's proposed tariffs on China, does not take into account proposed tariffs on Mexico and Canada. And we know here in Minnesota.
But those go back and forth, right? He again today he is delayed.
He's an economic wrecking ball. This tariffs.
I mean,
it's in. This is
and it's
nuts.
So are you telling me if it was President Kamala Harris right now, that these projections would be noticeably better than they are now?
Yes, because the economists are saying that the level of economic uncertainty has never been this high, because he's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow guy in Ghostbusters. You can never tell what he's going to do next. Today, the tariffs are on in Mexico. Tomorrow, the tariffs are off. If you want to build a house, the one thing you don't want is tariffs on Canada. We get a ton of lumber from Canada. Or if you're a Minnesota farmer and you want to sell your soybeans, you don't want USAID all of a sudden totally out of the blue annihilated. These are kind of radical economic actions that are going to have an impact on the Minnesota economy and the national economy. And when you look at the out years, 28 and 29, projected $6 billion deficit, every single year we get more than $20 billion from the U.S. government. If that goes away because of Donald Trump's erratic and chaotic actions, that is a much bigger consequence than the rate of inflation and providing social services to people we care about.
Okay, two last points, and I'll let you go. This is Melissa Hortman with us. A lot of people want to hear from Democrats that, yes, you're right when you say that we have advantages living in Minnesota that other states don't because of the size of our government, and there's a benefit to it. There's also concern about the growth of government. If I looked at the size of our budget during Tim Pawlenty's last year to now, it has increased astronomically. You, along with Tim Walz, are the two leaders of this party in the state that people look to. Tell me where Democrats are in favor of slowing down the increase in government.
Well, you saw the governor release a budget in January that slowed the growth in social services, and he got a lot of criticism for it. People said he was cold-hearted and didn't want to take care of people. That's what these decisions mean in the real world. They mean less money being spent on whether it's long-term care or services to people with disabilities. When you cut expenses in government, it has an impact on people's lives. And we together have to make these decisions. They are easy to attack. They are hard to make. And definitely inflation is having an impact on our economy and all of our pocketbooks.
But so is that nothing then?
Is what nothing?
That you cannot identify one or two areas of the Minnesota state government where you think Democrats should advocate to slow down the growth?
Well, I think that we absolutely have to slow down the growth in health and human services. And we've known this since 2005, since my very first session here, that because we have an aging population, we have fewer young workers than we do baby boomers retiring and senior citizens. We are going to have this inversion in our budget where health and human services are going to eat up a larger and larger portion of our budget. It's a hard thing to say, though. You know, what is the alternative to the state paying for this care? Families do this. You know, families take people into their home. We all know that we're ill-equipped. Some people are ill-equipped. I am certainly ill-equipped to take care of aging parents, and I am counting on there being a system of care for them. But it is a very expensive system of care. And if we value that and we want that and we don't want to cut, we do have to figure out how to pay for it. And it's getting more expensive each year.
I appreciate your availability, the sparring, and then we'll reach out again.
Sounds good. Have a good day. See ya.
Melissa Hortman. Making herself available. I'll say the same with Lisa Damoth. She makes herself available. This is what politicians should do. And it's pretty obvious in this state which politicians are willing to take some questions and which are not. It's not just this show. Sure, I'd rather have them this show, but it's others. And some just want the softball stuff elsewhere. And that's wrong. And that's wrong to the citizens of this state. You agree with Melissa Hortman? You thought she made tremendous points, or you disagree? Text away 651-461-9226. Linda's time check is 12:54. Time to sign up for your home improvement project before the spring manufacturer price increase hits about April 1st. Okay, Dave, before we get to a bevy of reactions, you listen to Melissa Hortman. What was your main takeaway from what she had to say? And I was going to play with the public.
Well, it'll play with half the public very well, Chad, and half will not. I think that's pretty obvious. No, I think she made some certainly good points. If you know, you can, yeah, I can see where there's maybe blame to be placed on the federal government and uncertainty, tariff on, tariff off, you know, what the economy is doing right now. But, you know, to also say, to not open up and say, you know, maybe there was some spending we did during the trifecta that maybe wasn't necessary. Of course there was. So, you know, you're getting truths on both sides. You're getting half-truths on both sides.
They went way too far when they had the trifecta, in my opinion. Yes, she can come back and say how much they say, but there were taxes and fees. I think Melissa's playing a little cute on that one. Certainly what Donald Trump is doing right now is not helping the economy. Pure and simple. About every single indication is showing uncertainty, and we're going to get back into it. I was going to talk Trump right at the start, 1 o'clock hour. We'll wait. But it's utter nonsense. It's utter nonsense. Because you know what the market, you know what the economy, you know what people want, you know what international folks want looking to America? Some level of certainty and stability. And when you're firing people with a chainsaw, then you're bringing them back, then tariffs are on, tariffs are off, tariffs are on, it doesn't help. However, big however, to blame all this on Donald Trump, or the majority of this on Donald Trump, when it's March 6th, and it's this early into his term, is obscuring your responsibility. It just is. And he is threatening to withhold more money. Doge, again, slowing down the growth of government? Sure. Finding out what people actually do? Great concept. Great concept. Let's get to some points. A great interview. It would have been better if you let her finish her sentences, Chad. There's a back and forth on this show at times. And Melissa, they reach out to us. They get the sparring. They get she's going to be asked questions. And they get, I'm not going to let her filibuster. The first answer, Dave, was like 2 minutes. Well, this isn't a show where you talk for 3 minutes. I don't push back. There are other options out there. I just think people want a little more of holding the feet to the fire. We're going to go 58-50, Dave. More text. Seems strange that Minnesota Democrats are suddenly concerned about inflation, but we're not concerned about inflation the past 4 years. Horrible points. She just deflected everything. That was Trump's fault. Chad, I haven't heard this much gaslighting. Nothing like a professional politician. Talking about all the different fees. Referencing tariffs. What BS. Now, again, I'm saying that there is... If you're just only pointing at Donald Trump, get out of here. That does not pass the believability test. Okay? It just doesn't. But how many indications do we have to have right now, Dave Harrigan, that people are very uncertain about the economy? Maybe Donald Trump, Dave, is going to be right that 6 months from now, a year from now, the tariffs, the threats, the cutting, the scattershot is all going to work, but right now it's not working. Pure and simple, correct?
Yes, of course it's correct right now. And yeah, maybe it all works out in the end, but sue us for being skeptical at this point.
Yes. And You have to have some level of certainty. And that's where I think they went way, way, way too far in spending the amount of money they did. They created uncertainty themselves. All right, let's pause. Let's get to CBS News and our friend Susie Jones here on CCO.